Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
We are entitled to defend what we have, and I shouldn't be put in a position to have to make a choice to play for another coach other than Phil Jackson.
Players and coaches alone don't win championships that organizations do.
Jerry called me in his office and said, this is going to be your last year. I don't care if you win 82 games in a row. This is going to be your last year here.
He'll always look for a theme for every season, given that it was the last year we were going to be together. In typical Phil fashion, you know, he had a name for it.
Last Dance.
So I called it the Last Dance.
Enjoy what's happening. Because this is it.
I decided to have surgery late.
Scotty was wrong in that scenario.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to my summer up trying to rehab.
Dennis hadn't accepted the role that Scotty wasn't going to be around, and we needed you to be more accountable.
I went to Vegas.
Everybody understood Dennis's impact on the group, and we understood that he had different needs.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him. If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
We're going to go get his ass out of bed, and I'm not going to say what's in his bed.
There's a knock on the door. It's Michael Jordan, and I hit.
All right, Mr. Reinsdorf, are you going to do everything you can possible to bring these guys back here to try to do this all over again?
I can only hope and pray that Michael and Scotty will come back and defend the championship one more time.
Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds from game seven or from championship number six.
Starting to drive. Hang. Fire. Yeah. He scores. The Bulls lead 87-86.
Jerry Krause, let me ask you, you do everything you can to bring these guys back.
Well, you know, tonight all I want to do is celebrate and have fun, and we're gonna talk later on.
The Chicago Bulls have won their sixth NBA championship. And it's their second three-peat.
And I want to thank Jerry Krause for giving us the opportunity to do it. He had another plan, but he put it aside.
Krause clearly is grooming Tim Floyd.
And if this is the final chapter, what a way to close the book.
It would have been suicidal. Their market value individually was going to be too high.
This is a good time to go.
We give you 1 year contract to try for seven. Do you think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed.
And this one.
Jordan and the Bulls changed the culture.
And now it's all over.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Not even the 90s Bulls are immune to the Chris Tannehill Goodfellas treatment, Mac.
Oh, so good on so many levels. And Jordan's opinions, those are strictly his opinions. He's probably wrong about a couple of those things. He was, you know, you can will a team to championships, but you're probably not going to will Scottie Pippen to take a low-end contract for 98-99 when he already feels for years he's been screwed by the Bulls and wants to change the backdrop and what was left to win anyway. Yeah, they get the Goodfellas treatment, and there's a bloodied pink Cadillac, still has the sticker on it. There's a sanitation truck full of dead bodies in the back, and the 98 Bulls would win the last championship, and the Bulls have not been to an NBA Finals since. But Only 22, yeah, only 22
close.
Years have passed. It hasn't been all
pizza.
That long.
All by myself. Nobody will eat. Eat the pizza.
I eat the pizza. That's going to be in Jordan's poem tomorrow. You know, Steve Kerr was talking about it in one of those clips there from the opening montage when Phil had everybody write the notes as they got together one last time and then the ceremonial burning of the notes, and it was mentioned Jordan wrote a poem. We may have that poem on tomorrow's show.
Oh, really?
I'm working hard on getting it, yes.
That would be quite a scoop. That would be fantastic journalism. Uh-huh. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. Let me know if I can help in any way.
Probably have to pre-produce it because I'd be laughing too hard to do it live.
We heard Jordan Freeman early in the show, your mashup of Michael Jordan and Morgan Freeman. So,
oh, yeah. So many people he was friends with at Shawshank. Red, Floyd, Brooks Hatlin, Haywood, myself.
It's perfect.
Badass.
So if you could get the poem, it would just be incredible journalism.
What rhymes with pizza?
Good Lord. We'll work on
pizza.
It. Yeah, text line 67011. We'll workshop it. But yes, going into The Last Dance, I thought it was egregious to break them up. And if you have Michael Jordan, he should leave on his own terms and he should be able to defend his title until he no longer wants to defend it. After watching the documentary and reading the excerpt from the Krause memoir that was released and then reminding myself, most importantly, of the Pippen detail, it was a sign-and-trade. 5 years, $67 million. 34 years old, multiple surgeries, bad back. He made just over $32 million with his career with the Bulls. He's not given up that money when he's injured for one more year. And that's not even to mention, which we haven't mentioned yet and wasn't talked about in the documentary, Jordan that offseason at a golf tournament cut his finger really badly on a cigar cutter. And that was as much a reason why he stayed away from the NBA for that lockout year. So, and Krause said in the memoir that he could have not told the Bulls that, signed the $30 million one-year deal, taken the money, and then sat out with the injury, but he didn't do that. So there was just – Rodman only played 35 games left in his career. Phil had been so publicly disrespected for years and years. He needed some time off to recharge. I think their best shot at a seventh championship was actually 94-95 if Jordan would have taken a year off to recover after his dad had been murdered and then never played baseball. I don't think 98-99 was happening for a myriad of reasons. Scottie Pippen's financials at the top of the list.
Yeah, but, yeah. There's a lot of reason to believe, yes. If they would have had that fourth one in 94-95, then maybe Seattle in the two Utah series would be 5, 6, and 7. That's probably right. And if it's strictly a business decision, which Reinsdorf contended it was, I guess I'm okay with that. I respect it. At the same time, I probably would give the greatest player in that sport's history an opportunity to go down swinging. I would do everything I could to give him one last shot at it. Somebody at that level, despite his potential to have significantly diminished skills.
So we had Matt Nagy on the show on Friday, and it was we had been working on getting Matt Nagy on the show for a long time to do score stories. That hasn't happened, and that did not happen on Friday. He did a teleconference ahead of what would have been I forget if it was supposed to be the OTA or the minicamp. I always confuse those two. But the Bears are trying to do a good job of keeping the access the same. So even though the media can't go to the minicamp, if Matt Nagy would speak, they're putting him available with the media. And so when we saw that, we reached out, and he was meeting the media at like 4:15. We had him on the show at 5. But we were told it could only be 10 minutes. And so it wasn't going to be a score stories thing, but we wanted to try to have some fun with Matt Nagy, right? It's the offseason, 10 minutes, establish the rapport. He had a good time when he was on with us in training camp. And so we weren't going to ask all the same questions that were on in the press conference, because that always infuriates me when we get like newsmakers on the station or they do interviews. Like, you should treat them like they're coming on talk shows to be entertaining and to get a different side of these guys and not just ask the same questions that they get asked in the press conference or the teleconference, because then what's the point, right? Like,
you can play those soundbites from the news conference, right?
Right. He's coming on a talk show. It should be a different vibe. And so that's what we tried to do. And to be honest, I think we swung and missed a couple of times for whatever reasons. But I want you to be the judge of it. So we introed him with the back and forth of us giving him the bag of salted peanuts after his seventh inning stretch by me some – you remember what it was.
I do, yeah.
And so we introed him with that cut, and then our conversation went here off the top. Coach, welcome back to The Score. I'm sorry we don't have any snacks for you.
You guys are crazy, man. That's unbelievable. I thought that thing went away.
We've got long memories, Matt. Come on. You think we're going to let a comedic opportunity like that go away? Come on now.
We did a deal on Zoom today for the last 10 minutes of our talk with the rookies. We asked them, did you ever have a moment where you said something where you wish you could have taken it back or put a foot in your mouth? And we got some interesting responses from that. But I certainly know, I said it's my accent, but they were joking around about what y'all just played.
Oh, no. So it was conversation recently with his young players. I like it.
It was solid.
It's on his mind, too, apparently. He says, I said something really bad, but it's my accent. I'm not trying to say that word, but that's good. It was timely. It was germane.
I thought it went well, right? So we were off on a very, very good conversational note, and so we talked to him about the difficulties of staying in touch with his team during COVID and some of the celebrities that he had, the guest speakers on their Zoom calls with the team to try to keep it fresh. It was a pretty solid start. And then we tried to have a nice little moment by allowing Matt Nagy to respond to one of his highest profile critics.
Hey, Matt, we are very lucky we get to talk to people like you on this radio station, and we get to talk to the mayor every once in a while. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, this was her. She's been on The Score, and she's done this, which was on NBC Sports Chicago.
I'd like to see Nagy's play calling be a little less predictable and pedestrian. Running up the gut every time. That's not working so well.
How would you respond to the mayor of Chicago who has thoughts on your play calling and running up the gut, Coach Nagy?
Yeah, now, you know what? Hey, everybody has their own opinions, and that's that. For me, it's very, very important that what we do as a organization, whether that's coaches, whether that's players, that we do everything we can to focus on 2020. And the beautiful part of what's so great about the Chicago city, the Chicago fans, is that people care, right? And I think that's what you find is that the care is there. They want the best to be competitive. They want the best team possible to be competitive in these situations. And so that's what we worry about, and that's what we control. And so everybody has different opinions, and we all have our own. And I think right now for us, we're just focusing on what we can control, and that's 2020, and that's doing everything we can in these Zoom meetings right now to make sure that we're putting points up on the board and stopping people on defense.
What do you
think,
Mac?
I thought that was great. I thought he took that very, very well. Wasn't overly sensitive about it. And Mayor Lightfoot, by the way, didn't really represent Bears fans very well. I think people would love to see him slam it in the middle a little bit more. That was the problem last year, was they don't run the ball enough, regardless of where you're running it. We got tired of seeing that jet sweep to the short side of the field with little Tariq Cohen all too often. But I thought he handled that very, very well.
Upon hearing it a second time, it's not nearly as cringeworthy as I thought it was while it was happening live.
You thought he didn't take it real well, huh?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure, but
did you hear Spiegs banging on his keyboard? I hear Spiegs.
Yeah.
He's an angry typist, man. He's rough on a laptop.
Yeah, I trust me, because we're trying to communicate, and once I could hear it, I was like, oh man, it's too much. We'll just go every other question. It's fine. And then you could keep hearing it. And so it.
How about the vacuum?
Oh, Mac, Jesus.
What?
His lovely wife, who is lovely and I love, vacuuming in the background during the show. And I called him on it. And, he told her to stop. But I said, and it was true. I was like, This isn't inside the clubhouse. This isn't hit and run. This is afternoon drive. We can't have any vacuums going on here. And I think Matt got a little sensitive to that critique.
Ooh.
I didn't mean anything by it. I was joking around. We were fine. But you can't be vacuuming in the background of a radio show.
That's how Ryan Pace's wife
threw
out his system shortly before the draft. You remember him talking about that? He said he was adjacent to the kitchen, and she was I'm pretty sure it was a vacuum, wasn't it, that threw his system out of whack?
Yes, that knocked him out during the test run.
Stephanie,
one of the two. Amazing setup, Dan, with all these screens and – Stephanie's vacuuming, it hits the cord and every screen goes black.
One of the two football Stephanies. The two Stephanies would like you to do that in another room. Stephanie Rivera being the other football Stephanie.
That's exactly right. So yeah, there was a little bit of chaos on Friday's show, but you're right. I agree with you that Mayor Lightfoot's criticism, like, there wasn't much simple eye formation running up the gut, and you and I have disagreed on where there's a place for that, or how big of a place, I guess, there is more accurately with how the Bears are constructed and with what Matt Nagy is trying to do. But I tried to represent your point of view and many of our callers and texters' point of views by getting Matt Nagy to make a pledge to Bears fans about the running game this year. Hey, I know Bears fans, and I know you don't have much time. They're very excited because, yes, you are just getting started. We talked to a lot of Bears fans, young, old, and I loved when you said, you know, they didn't bring me in here to run the I formation because I saw what you did in Kansas City and what they just did last year, and I'm a young guy, and I want you guys throwing it all over the field. But we got, like, old-school, bear-down, bear-weather Bears fans that listen to this radio station. What can you tell them about, like, a pledge to the running game or where you feel like the running game exists in Bear football in 2020? Because a lot of people have questions about it, Matt.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think when you look at, you know, the last couple of years with where we've been, we reflect and we understand that we need to be better in the run game. And so when your run game isn't, you know, quite as good as you want it to be, it's at times hard to call runs. At the same time, we need to do whatever's best for our team. We need to adjust and adapt as coaches to who our players are, right? And you can't just do that in year one if you don't know exactly who your players are because you haven't had them. Now that we've had a couple years as a staff to figure out what our players' strengths are and what their weaknesses are, now we are able to work together with them and put together a product on the field that we think is a lot better. And if that means running the ball a lot more, we are going to do it. And you totally understand when you say the old school way or the I formation, whatever we need to do, we'll do that. Now, at the same point in time, you want to make sure that you also have those pieces to be able to do that. And there's a lot more. I could get a lot deeper with this than where we're at right now level-wise, but there's reasons behind that. And we feel like we're in a good place right now to be able to move forward and be very multiple in what we do. And trust me, all of our players, all of our coaches are doing everything we can to know that we need to be a lot better than where we were last year offensively. And I think that's the beauty, is there's no finger pointing. It's all about solutions. It's about working together. It's moving on. 2018 and 2019, for us right now, they're gone. We're on to 2020. We don't waste time talking about that. We're on 2020 right now.
What do you make of it? Do you believe him?
Well, I believe he's mindful of it. I don't think it's something that he ever will completely get his head around in terms of how exciting that element of the game can be and how valuable it can be. I reject the notion that style is dated or old school. Damian Williams carried the ball 17 times in the Super Bowl and helped the pass-happy Kansas City Chiefs win. Look what the 49ers did to the Packers by running the ball in the NFC title game. You throw the ball to score points. You run the ball to win games. And Andy Reid did it as well as anybody this year. His running game in the postseason was crisp, as was the Tennessee Titans, which is why they made it as far as they did to the AFC title game. Don't let Ryan Tannehill throw the ball and beat you. So I still think there's a place for that in this game. Can you sustain it over a long period of time, being primarily meat and potatoes, old school, bear down, bear weather? No, but you got to have it in the arsenal. It's got to be something you can do when you need to do it.
Yeah, I thought that where he kind of pivoted to, like 2018, 2019 are dead. It's all about 2020 and looking forward. Whenever I talk to him, I understand why the players love him so much. Like, his enthusiasm is infectious. Like, he makes you believe. It's relatable. He's got catchy slogans and sayings. And, you know, I've heard that, like, these Zoom calls that they're doing with the position groups and the offense and the defense and the whole teams and some of the surprises they've had. And he wouldn't reveal the people that they've had on because he said if it gets out publicly, then those people just get requests from everyone. So they requested some anonymity. But, like, he's doing fun things to keep this team engaged. And I don't know how much value to put on the fact that he has never come close to losing the locker room, but there is a huge gulf between what Matt Nagy's approval rating is with Bears fans and what his approval rating is with Bears players. Because I would guess that his approval rating with Bears players is in like the 95th percentile. Like, it is extremely high. And
how important is that to you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how important it should be, but you talk about, like, dysfunction and all of that. Like, that hasn't happened. There have been little things. They've been nipped immediately in the bud. Their down year was an 8-win season, 20 games in 2 years, one playoff appearance. We will see where it goes, like, the more adversity they get if they keep going through it. But I can just tell you that his players – on both sides of the ball truly believe that he's the guy to solve the problems. I don't know how much that's worth, frankly. If you don't score points and you score 17 a game, it's worth absolutely nothing if you're liked. But I believe he's smart, and I believe he knows what he's doing, and I believe his quarterback held him back. And so then that'll be the type of thing that puts him over the top.
Okay. The proof will be in the bread pudding once we get to a football season. And I hope while he doesn't want to talk about 18 or 19 anymore, we can see evidence that he's learned from it. And the addition of Juan Castillo. And again, I keep telling you, don't sleep on Arlington Hambright, the kid from Colorado. Do not forget that name. He could loom large on that
Tanny
offensive line.
That.
Yeah, I know. He's a big fan of Hambright. Not to mention Lechavius. What's the kid they drafted after him? What's his last name? Simmons? Lechavius Simmons out of Tennessee State. Do I have these guys committed to memory accurately yet?
I don't. Anybody who wasn't Cole Kmet or Jalon Johnson, I don't have fully committed to memory yet.
Oh,
I will be perfectly honest.
You can't speak at length about Darnell Mooney, the wide receiver out of Tulane, or Kendall Vildor, the corner out of Georgia Southern. You knew there'd be a directional school, even though the Bears didn't have a ton of picks.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is probably the next most because he's one of the sub 4-4 wide receivers that they took the green wave. Yeah, Tulane. I'm not totally versed on the roles of the fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks yet on this team. But I went back and read all of the quotes from the media teleconference because I know, you know, everyone wants the answer to the Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky thing, and he's not giving anything away. He's like, we're going to be transparent. You can't do a quarterback competition over Zoom. He said that we'll still figure it out, and that'll become public as we get to training camp. But he said it's possible there will be more 11-on-11 time in practices and that there will be more reps necessitated for the starting quarterbacks in preseason games if and when they have them because of a quarterback competition. So he wasn't necessarily willing to concede that it was like because of a slow start last year or anything, but it seems like you guys are going to get your wish for more starters in the preseason because gameplay will be the best way to actually vet Foles v. Trubisky.
Yeah, when you've got career quarterback ratings lurking around 85, 86, that's what it ought to be. Those guys haven't earned the right to take an August off. They just haven't. For me, and I'm glad he's seeing it that way. And when I saw those quotes Saturday morning, I was doing cartwheels, and that's not good for me with all my orthopedic issues. But 11-on-11 time and, you know, maybe going not live, but going close to live a little bit more regularly in practice, amp that up and let these guys play in August to find out who's better equipped and now wait until opening day against the Motor City Kitties.
I will still be surprised. Like, my guess is you'll be disappointed.
with the contact in practice. Personally, I just don't. I think that injury and health is such a big thing. I will be very surprised if it's like, oh, we go more live contact and stuff like that. A little bit more in the preseason. I'm sure that'll happen if there is a preseason. But if the normal team who plays their guys, you know, three quarters in the third preseason game, a half in the second, a quarter in the first, you're talking 60 to 70 snaps over three games for your starters across six quarters. It's not a massive sample. So I would guess that Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky maybe get 30 snaps apiece in the preseason. Like I wouldn't think it would be that much for either of those two guys.
I'm going to go over on both. Of course, over I don't know both? How many games they're going to play, but yeah, I mean, that's only one game between the two of them. If they both sat at 30, that'd be 60 snaps. That's one game. I think they'll get more than that.
Yeah, maybe 40 something. I will be surprised if it's a huge number, but it will for both of them, it'll be an increase over what it would have been the last couple of years here with the Bears. There's some good audio that we hadn't gotten to yet. Not necessarily from The Last Dance, but to put some context around some of the stuff that happened with that Bulls team at the end. We'll bring it to you coming up on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Steve Kerr hit the biggest shot of that series. And to me, I think that's where everything went downhill for us. It changed everything.
All of a sudden, a volt of electricity went through the building.
A volt of electricity. Is that how that works? I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness. I quickly reached for the remote. I got to rewind that. Do we have Jalen Rose getting a nomination for Malaprop of the Week? Yeah, I think we are.
A volt of electricity went through the building.
Exactly one volt.
One?
Of electricity.
It's not even a static, right?
Like, no. No
volt.
One's going to notice one volt.
A volt of electricity went through the building.
Yeah.
Bolt would have been better there?
Well, yes. A bolt of electricity, a fast charge, or maybe, I don't know how many volts would be required for it to be significant. 250,000 volts? 100,000 volts before you'd get anybody at Market Square Arena? I loved that building, to notice what Steve Kerr's shot meant.
I'm not sure the wattage, right? Is
it's not wattage, it's volts. They're different.
That's different.
A volt of electricity went through the building.
So it's more of a volt than a watt.
Yes, it is.
My Jiffy guy never explained the differences to me. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, you know, I was among those last night for episode number 9, SOL, because I remain a DirecTV customer, and it was raining really hard for a good percentage of yesterday afternoon and into the evening, and I lost my DirecTV feed for 45 minutes between 8 and 8:45. We had no coverage. Oof. Right around 5 minutes to 8, it went out. Fortunately, they do the recast overnight, and I was able to record and watch episode number 9 this morning. So, because otherwise I would have never found that volt of electricity going through Market Square Arena. Thank goodness I found that.
Yeah, that is...
Volt of electricity?
That's the type of thing that would really make me consider switching services. Come on over to the Xfinity side, Mac. I mean, man. Like, when it's pouring rain outside, that's when you most want to watch TV.
I know. Hey, you know, I was reminded of all those Blackhawk playoff seasons when I'd have to run to a local tavern because in April and May when hockey playoffs are going on, it's always stormy, and certainly was the case in all those good Hawks years when they were a playoff team. But instead, I lose the last dance. I'll get around to it. You know, once we make it, it's like I want to be out of this house by the end of the year, so I'm kind of not wanting to commit to a switch until I make a decision on that. I don't want to have somebody come in and set up a whole new system and because it's a huge project. I mean, they have to gut the entire wiring of the house from the basement on up, and I'm not going to have somebody do that if I'm out of here before the end of the year.
Yeah, then that certainly would be a right. variable. We do in the not, what am I looking for? Winnebago? What am I looking for here?
Am I going to live in a mobile home?
Mobile
home. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, well, because I went with trailer, but that's not the right word.
I belong in a trailer park. Yeah, that's what you're suggesting.
Well, no, you say, you know, it's the gated community of the trailer park. But
it is, yeah. Yeah.
But we downsizing or are we going to the mobile home route?
Yeah, I've been wanting to downsize. You know, I'm going to see what the pandemic does to the housing market before it's probably going to hurt it. I'm suspecting, and in some areas I know it already has. In some communities it hasn't. So yeah, a downsize for sure. And an RV trip is in my future too, hopefully. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm not going to live in the RV. I'm only going to rent one and see how I like it. And then maybe when I retire in a few years, maybe I'll get one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the RV would be like the pond. It'd be good for your desire to just, you know, live not the nomadic lifestyle, but Arizona, Canada, wherever you want to be, that's where you go.
The open road, yeah.
The open road, man. How much windshield?
I live in a van down by the river.
Exactly. How many miles did you put on this weekend?
I put about 450 miles on my vehicle. I did not go as far east on Saturday as I was expecting to. Only went about halfway, maybe a third of the way is what I was expecting to go to. But I would love to see the country that way. I've only done shorties in an RV. I've been to Iowa City, been to the Derby a handful of times in an RV, maybe four or five times. Did take an RV to Canada once, which didn't make a ton of sense since we were sleeping in a cabin. It made for a very fun 14-hour commute. And we hung out in it on occasion, and that was a trip with a bunch of kids, so they got to, you know, do kids' things in the RV while we were in the cabin. Before they were of majority age and things were shared more liberally. So
sure.
Yeah, but it's a fun way to go. I mean, ask Joe Madden. I mean, those who love it a lot. And you can get a lot of vehicle for not spending a lot of money. I was surprised how much vehicle you can get. A used one I'm talking about, a gently used one with fewer than 30,000 miles on it. You'd be surprised. I thought, man, there's no way I'm going to be looking at something that's this new that's going to be that affordable, but pleasantly surprised.
I don't think I could do the bathroom maintenance. I think that would be a deal breaker for me.
You could be trained. It's pretty simple. You have a black water tank. You have a gray water tank. And you have to learn how to flush them and where to flush them. And you have to be very gentle on everything in an RV. Things break easily.
Yeah, I feel like I could learn the driving part of it and the open road and sleeping in it and all that. That would be great. That would be no problem. But the maintenance of something like that, I'd feel very responsible.
Danny, I'm not taking up mechanics. I'm not going to be doing the oil changes myself or anything like that. I promise.
Yeah, but like in National Lampoon's Vacation, when he's like the crapper's full, like that's on you, right? Like you gotta flush it.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, not interested.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. Well, that's why you can go outside and you're staying in a park somewhere, just run off into the woods.
That's right. Tight lines.
Waste less water. Tight lines. Many tight lines.
As many tight lines as you could possibly find. I know you also enjoyed the memory of all those NBA press conferences you went to back in the day. Here was a moment with Jerry Sloan at a presser.
Coach, how much did you know about Jordan's condition going into the game? What did he look like early, and describe the effort that he put forth with the illness that he had?
First of all, I didn't know he's sick. And I thought he played a great game. Did everybody else know he was sick? I guess I was the last one to know.
Jerry Sloan, the former number bull, who's number four, hangs from the rafters. Triple-barreled question there. Got him out quickly and cleanly. Okay with that. But pick one. Pick one question and ask that one.
That happens all the time in press conferences and radio interviews. But it's just it's an odd thing. Like he just then answers it his own way. He's like, I didn't know he was sick. Did you? He ignored two-thirds of your question.
Coach, how much did you know about Jordan's condition going into the game? What did he look like early, and describe the effort that he put forth with the illness that he had?
It's a lot. That's a lot of questions to,
yeah.
What
you do, what the interview coach they brought in told us is you totally forfeit the floor to your guest. Your guest can like one of those three questions and only answer that one and take so long in doing so that he figures you're probably not going to go back to the one of the two that he didn't want you to address. Because you're on a time limit anyway, and he's not, you know, a lot of times guys won't go back to it. So you give control of the interview to the guest, and that's not something you do. But Jerry Sloan, to his credit, remembered all three of them and answered two of them, kind of.
Ish. Yeah, he's just like, I didn't know. I didn't know he was sick. That story is still just bizarre to me. We learned today that he spit on the pizza. Maybe that's what got him sick, Mike. Maybe you should be hawking a loogie on your pizza.
Oh, I don't think he loogied. I would assume it's only saliva. He didn't.
I don't know.
He didn't hawk one up, did he? Come on. He wouldn't do that and then eat it.
I don't know.
No.
It's a weird thing to do. Dripping saliva all over the pizza is also a weird tactic to keep people in your room from not eating pizza with you.
Not
it's a
the
weird
way to
thing.
Treat you. Said, F these guys, I'll have the pizza.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
We've started something. We have a bunch of listeners saying they're spending their afternoons in Jordan speak. There's a chef out in Los Angeles cleaning shallots. time to dice the tomatoes.
The best part of that is all by myself.
All by myself.
That's the best part. Because it's like
with the occasional Robert Chief thrown in.
I had no problem with the glove. I had no problem with the pizza. Karl Malone won MVP. I took down the pizza all by myself.
I liked how he established a dislike for Byron Russell of the Utah Jazz while he was playing baseball, because Russell reminded him probably a lot of himself with the trash talk. Too bad you retired, man. I could guard your ass. Wish you'd come back so I could guard you. I thought that was pretty good stuff. And he actually
Byron Russell made our team in the first place through incredible effort defensively, so he earned the right to take on some of the tougher assignments, and it doesn't get any tougher than Michael.
Yeah, Brian Russell. When I was playing baseball, Utah's in town to play the Bulls. They're practicing at the facility. I go over and say hello to John and Carl. And this kid, Brian Russell, comes up to me and said, man, why you quit? Why you quit? Man, you knew I could guard your ass. I couldn't, you had to quit. I said, Carl, you need to talk to this dude, man. Nah, he's just a young rookie. But from that point on, he's been on my list.
Brian's a very playful guy, and he said things all the time. I have no doubt Michael had a number of edges that he could have sharpened for whatever reason.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
Took care of Brian Russell. Took care of the pizza. Just like I took care of Robert Chief and the pizza.
That's
and
awesome.
Dan Marley and Clyde Drexler and the pizza. It's just incredible. I had him on my list. Like Steve Buscemi's people to kill list in Billy Madison. Oh, yeah. Got to add Brian Russell. Got to come back from baseball to get this rookie on the Jazz.
But Brian Russell yapped. He actually earned it. LeBradford Smith didn't earn it. A lot of others didn't really earn. That was all those manufactured ones. This is a guy who actually, he started yapping first. So that's one where he actually had a legitimate want to dust this guy's ass.
Sure.
He had something he had a reason to.
One. Because most of them were figments of his imagination. But whatever it took to get him motivated to play in the NBA Finals. That's the thing, too. It's like, oh, when we played the Suns, Jerry Krause liked Dan Majerle. That wasn't acceptable. Oh, we played the Blazers. People said Clyde Drexler was on my level. That wasn't acceptable. We played the Jazz. He won MVP. Karl Malone. That's not acceptable. Like, you're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Right. Why do you need extra motivation?
I know. That probably was part of the poem that he wrote and shared with his teammates that hoping to have access to tomorrow.
All by myself. Pizza. All by myself.
I eat the pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
I don't know why that tickles me so much, but it does.
Joe Ostrowski at 6. We're putting a bow on this thing next on the Score.
McNeil and Parkins flashback. Flashback.
Bob Costas, who is joining us from the booth in Wrigley Field.
What is your favorite memory of time spent in our fair burg?
The Sandberg game, which people still talk about, maybe the greatest regular season game I've ever witnessed, let alone broadcast. And then all the Jordan era moments, but it was capped by the last shot against Utah in 98, which I did the play-by-play of. So those are not just Chicago highlights. Those are on my top 10 list of my entire career.
And in that moment leading up to the Jordan shot, is it even possible to not think about the context of what you're about to call?
You're chronicling not just an NBA championship, not just a dramatic game, but the closing chapters of one of the epic careers in the history of American sports.
17 seconds from game 7 or from championship number 6. Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead!
That was Bob Costas with us last baseball season. He went into great detail on the final shot and the call that led up to it, what he did after the broadcast, and how he was so proud of that moment in terms of being able to contextualize both the moment that it happened and its place in history. This segment brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. As I lose the thread, I will get back to that in a second. But Bob Costas will be on with Mully and Haw tomorrow. You want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
Always
that'll do it.
Have felt Costas was at his best as a studio host, but a very competent play-by-play man as well. Going from Costas to Michael Breen is like going from Phil Jackson to Tim Floyd. Man, that's one thing The Last Dance really reminded me of, how big everything felt. Not just the Bulls, but the broadcast on the network. And then again, there was Matt Gukas' smiling face, too, and he brought nothing to the party. But at least from a play-by-play, man, you had Marv Albert and you had Bob Costas. Man, that's getting it done.
Yeah, it was the NBA on NBC was iconic. And I actually think that Mike Breen and Van Gundy and Mark Jackson is a pretty good team. And Van Gundy does a nice, and Mike Breen does a nice job with like the big call and exciting moments. But he's not a historic, memorable broadcaster like the NBA had in the 90s. I just think he's a rock solid play-by-play guy. But no one's ever going to say that their favorite era of play-by-play with basketball is the Mike Breen era. It's not distinct in that way. The Last Dance is over, Mac. Sports are not here. We get to keep doing it tomorrow. Quarantine day 42, I believe, will be tomorrow's show.
Yep. Ron Feels Kittle. Like,
yes.
Rich Kittle. Bordy of the Cubs. Sid Luckman wore 42. Yeah, it'll be a good 42 day tomorrow.
And you have the poem, the exclusive access to the
if
Michael
I
Jordan
can find
poem.
It. If I, you know, it was burned, but I'm told there was a copy. Someone made
okay,
a copy
good.
Before it was burned. They all went and... Happy 74th birthday in case Reggie Jackson is listening. My favorite out-of-town athlete as a kid. He converted me to being an American League fan. Reginald Martinez Jackson, happy 74th, man. One
Happy
of these
birthday,
days we'll get
Mike.
On. Love to talk to him one more time.
Well, if he's listening, he should be doing something else to enjoy his birthday more. But happy birthday to Reggie Jackson. Thank you to Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer. Thank you to Herb Lawrence back in the studio helping out with all of these scoring team shows. We very much appreciate it. Terry Bors was our guest today. Chris Tannehill gave the Bulls the 90s Goodfellas treatment. He made us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. Joe Ostrowski coming up next on The Score.
We want to take this time to apologize for some of the language, but nonetheless, our sincerest apologies to you, the listeners.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.